Jesus. Praise God. Genesis chapter 46. This deals with Joseph, a great type of Christ, as far as the Old Testament. I'll start reading in verse 24. The Bible said, "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and said unto them, and he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way." The reason that Joseph said that to his brothers were because he knew when they got down the road, they could start blaming one another for why the reason Joseph was in Egypt. But he said, don't fall out with one another by the way. Verse 25, "And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not." The Bible said, "And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father," notice, "revived. And he, Israel, said, it is enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. And I will go and see him before I die." I want to preach, if the Holy Ghost will please help me this morning, on Joseph sending these wagons up and preach on Jacob's revival. Amen. Jacob's revival. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, it's in sections about different Old Testament men. If you look back to it, we look in verse number, or chapter number 37, I believe it is, and it starts with the life of Joseph. And Joseph, my friend, thank God, was a great man. He was God's man. But here Joseph, after having dreams, goes to his brethren and tells them that God has gave him a dream. And basically what he was saying in the dream was his brothers were going to bow to him. And when they heard that, they got mad. They got envious. They seen that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers. They showed, he showed him the kindness of the father by giving him a coat of many colors. And Joseph, thank God, surely looked like the favored son of Jacob. And now Jacob, in this text, has grown old. In that period of time, Joseph has been sold to Ishmaelites. Joseph, of course, was in the pit, sold to them. And then the Ishmaelites sold him into Egypt. And now Joseph goes into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife makes false accusation against Joseph. Then Joseph has put into prison for 2 years. He's in there with the butler and the baker, and the butler and the baker had dreams, and Joseph interpreted their dreams, and we find that the butler was restored to his position, and the baker was hung, and the butler goes free, and then Pharaoh has a dream. He dreams it's twice fold about, basically we're talking about this the kine and the corn, and we find here that this interpretation could have been told by the wise men. And we find in the scripture that now this butler thinks in and brought remembrance by God that Joseph interpreted his dream. And now Joseph goes
goes before Pharaoh, King Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tells Joseph these dreams. And Joseph said, God can tell you what it means. I like what he said. It's God that does it. Amen. And of course, we find that Pharaoh tells Joseph the dream. Joseph interprets the dream, and he says, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And we need to store up, thank God, for the famine years. I got the thinking of the night that we're living on a lot of old corn. Amen. We've been in a famine in this land. Thank God, and we're living off some old corn. And therefore, Jacob one day looks at his boys and he says, we're needing some food. There's famine in the land. And we need to go down to where Egypt is. They didn't know Joseph was there. And we need to go where Egypt is. Thank God, and go down there and get some corn. And so he gave him money. They didn't take Benjamin because that was his daddy's last son. Amen. He said, Joseph is not with us. And I surely don't want Benjamin to go. And something to happen to him. And so they go down to Egypt, the boys, with the money in their hand. And praise God, when they got there, Joseph knew who they were. But they didn't know Joseph. Amen. And so we go through the record here how Joseph wept. He got in a secret chamber and wept. Spake roughly to them. Sounds like Holy Ghost conviction. Thank God, the Holy Ghost has to speak to you, but it's a rough deal at first when he tells you you're lost and you're going to hell. Thank God. But then we find, amen, that he said, I want to ask you of your family. And they said, we got our daddy's back home. He's doing all right. And our brother stayed there, the youngest of our fathers. Amen. And so he puts corn in their sack. And they go back, thank God, to Canaan. And now when they go back, amen, they've got money in their sack with the corn. Amen. Thank God they go back. And it caused some fear in them. Amen. Because it happened like that. Simeon had to stay, I believe it was what it was. Amen. Because he wanted him to bring Benjamin. And also he knew they'd be back. And the next time they needed corn, thank God he said, don't come back without Benjamin. I'm trying to preach it in a short term. And now Benjamin, thank God, when they go back, goes with them. Amen. He, my friend, set table for them all. And they ate with him and the Egyptians. Amen. But they still didn't know who Joseph was. But Joseph knew who they were. Amen. And he refrained himself. He went into his chamber and he wept. Thank God. And now he sends them out with corn, money in their sack. And he said, put my cup, amen, in the bag of Benjamin. And so they get fill their sacks up. They put corn in it, money in it. And they put his cup, thank God, that he drank out of, in the sack of Benjamin. Now he says, I want you to go. He sends his old servants to run them down. And they open the sack and they said, some of y'all, one of y'all's got the cup. And they all said, we don't have the cup. Thank God, but when they opened the sack up, they found the cup in Benjamin. A sack. And they had to go back. Amen. But it was all set up. I'm telling you, God put some things in your pathway. Thank God, down through the years. And God Almighty, thank God, could bring you to himself. And look a little rough at first. But he done it. Thank God to bring you to yourself. Amen. That's right. Now, they get back and in verse number 1 of this chapter, he got to the place that he couldn't refrain himself. I believe that's what it says. Joseph could not refrain himself before all the brethren. Joseph gets everybody out of the house but his brother. And Joseph makes himself known. He said, I'm Joseph. I think it had been about over 13 years. He was 30 when he became the governor of the land, so it had to be over 30 years that when they had seen him, he come out and shaved after he got out of prison. He didn't have a beard like the Israelites did. And he come out and shaved. He was like the Egyptians. Amen. And when he revealed himself in trouble, they didn't at first rejoice in the fact they had seen their brother that they had put in a pit and sold. They were troubled at the thought that come to their mind. We the one that got him here, put him here. They was guilty. I'm going to tell you, thank God I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost. Show me how guilty I was.
Amen.
I was lost, going to hell without God, without hope. That old man of God spoke to my heart and told me in my own heart that I was going to hell and I need to be born again. And thank God, I'm telling you, I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. The God of heaven had to reveal it to me. And I'm glad for the day Jesus said unto me, I'm Jesus. Amen. That's right.
Right.
Joseph said, I'm Joseph. He couldn't refrain himself. I don't know. It's been a long time since they had seen him. I don't know if circumcision had anything to do with that or not. But he told them in verse 5, in the latter part, he said, God did send me before you to preserve life. In verse number 7, he said, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your life by a great deliverance. Everything that I've been through was ordained of God, is what he's saying. He said, praise God, being in the pit was ordained of God. Being sold was ordained of God. Me going to prison for 2 years was ordained of God. Everything in my life, thank God up and now, is ordained of God. He said, God done what you see in. God sent me here, thank God, that I could preserve you and deliver you from the famine. Amen. So back at the house is Jacob. He don't know what's going on in Egypt. Jacob is sitting bereaved back at his house. He had been bereaved since the boy was a teenager. He was bereaved. He was hurting for years. That's why he kept Benjamin at home. And one day, he sent Joseph out to see his brothers. And they seen him coming. They said, there comes that dreamer.
Right.
And they said, I'll tell you what, we'll kill him. And then one spoke up and said, no, we don't want to kill him, but we'll put him in this pit. And they stripped him of his coat. And they said, we'll kill the kid of the flock, which was a goat, and dip the coat in goat's blood. And they go back to their father, Jacob. And they said, we found this coat. Had blood on it. And he said, my son's been killed by a wild beast. That man sat there for that many years. Thinking in his own mind, my son's dead. That's what the word bereavement means. It means I've had a loss. The boys didn't know what had behold of him or what had happened to him till that day that he revealed himself. And Joseph said, I want y'all to come here and live. You don't got Pharaoh involved in it. Pharaoh blessed it and said, anywhere you want to live, you can live. Just come. Joseph said, I'm going to send for Dad. I'm going to send for my father. I want to see him. And he went to get all them. I think it was 70 that was involved in coming back to Egypt. And he said, when you go back, boys, don't get in an argument. fall out by the way with one another. You know, a lot of people fall out by the way with things that, thank God, that you can't change. How many people fall out of the way over the past? The past. What somebody done to me back there. What somebody did to me. A lot of people fall out of the way and they still got that grudge in their heart, or they still got that animosity in their heart. And Joseph is telling him, he said, I'm going to send you back. We got to send the best wagons of Egypt. We got to take you some supplies back. But then he said this to him. He said, when you're on your way back, he said, you're coming here. He said, don't even regard what you have back there. We got enough.
Yeah.
So they get in them wagons, they go back. And Jacob's sitting there. And they said, hey, Joseph's alive! And he said, I don't believe you. Heart kind of fainted. That probably was them lead boys, you know, getting back to him. And then when he lifted up and saw the wagons coming, he saw all that provision and them wagons coming down the road. And that old man lifted up his head and he said, Joseph's alive.
Yes, he did.
Joseph's alive. I wonder where you're sitting at this morning. It said he was revived in his spirit. That word revived there takes the meaning that he lived again in the spirit. This had been dead to him. He thought his son was dead. He didn't know he was alive. And they come back with the news. And when he saw the wagons which had sent the car here, the spirit of their father revived. And Israel said, it's enough! What would it take for you this morning for the God of heaven to do something for you and you'd say, praise God, that's enough.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. With his testimony this morning say, that's enough.
Yeah.
With the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, buddy, I'm going to tell you what, that record of Jesus Christ is still alive.
Yeah.
That testimony of Christ is still alive. Thank God I'm not the only one preaching today. There are men preaching around the world. That same record, and it's still alive. Thank God it hadn't died. Amen.
Right. Right. Right.
You know why the record's still alive? He is. He's not in the grave. Praise God, he's arisen. He's alive. Amen, buddy. I tell you something, you might not act like it, but I won't tell you what to say. He's alive. And we're alive if you're saved.
Yes, sir.
He said, you have to be quickened who are dead in trespassing sin. You know why you're alive? Because he's alive.
Yeah.
Amen. Jacob sat down there. Amen, buddy. Hey, God had been in a bereaving state. A bereaving state. Probably around 20 years. I want to preach three things that revived in him. Hope revived in him. If you lose your hope, you've lost it. Let me give you the definition for hope. Hope is the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. That come out of Mr. Webster. I didn't think that up myself. Highest degree of well-founded expectation of good, confidence in a future event. If you'll get what I'm saying, here's this old man, Jacob, sitting down in this house, had been a true patriarch. I mean, man, this guy, I mean, if you look at Jacob's life, it's like my life. Hey, God, it's like his. Amen. And most Christians' lives are like that. There's very few people that's even killed. You're either up or down most of the time. Thank God for the up times, and thank God for the down times, and thank God for the even times. He's in a down time. Down time. That man was sitting down there at that house thinking, my son's dead. Till he heard the news and hope revived.
Thank God for hope. Amen.
Hope. If you don't have hope, I'm talking about expectation. I'm talking about believing God and having expectation. Amen. Thank God, a lot of people have lost hope. A lot of you don't have much hope. But thank God, in God, there is hope. He's the God of hope. And He still can do, thank God, exceeding. Amen.
He got revived. Then it's hope. You think he's sitting down there with no hope? Probably. When they said Joseph's alive and he saw the wagons, he said, thank God it's revived in me.
Amen.
What you've been hoping for, yeah, this kindly went down. Your expectation isn't as strong as it used to be. My God's in charge.
Yeah.
He's on the throne.
Yeah,
he don't ask me or you.
Yeah.
Thank God he does well.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. It's a glad day when your hope's in God and you know He can take care of it. It's a good day. A lady called me yesterday and going through a hard time in her life. And she said, Preacher, what do you think I'll do about it? And I said, this is a common generic saying, but it's the God's truth. Let God have it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Can you give it to Him? Let God have it. Her husband hadn't been doing right and gone out all night and stuff. And she said, "What? Well, you think I ought to chase him?" I said, "No." I said, "I'd just give him to God and let God back him in a corner." There's hope.
Amen.
Yeah.
God knows how to take care of it. You think God's worried about it? No.
Hey, Jacob sitting down there, Brother Bobby, sitting down in that land, thought Joseph was dead. Hey, God didn't know where Benjamin been, about the other boys. But thank God when the news came and he saw the wagons and saw it with his own eyes, I'm down here, hope revived.
I want the Holy Ghost to revive your hope this morning.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else, revive. This church needs it. His joy revived.
Amen.
He's sitting down there in discouragement. You know what joy is? It's excitement, gladness, happiness.
Yeah.
I believe, thank God, I can see His countenance change. I'm not an easy guy to put on. I just can't do it. I mean, everybody's got a toothpaste smile once in a while. But it don't count. There's no gladness in that. But when Jacob was sitting down, I believe it had to have a downward countenance. I mean, here he's just sent some boys after a corn, a normal expedition, a normal something that they would do to go get corn just to have something to fulfill the need that they have. And now his boys is gone. He's Joseph's dead. And Benjamin is gone. And he's sat down probably just discouraged.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Don't you quit on God.
Right.
You never know when the wagon is going to pull up. Never know. You never know when the wagon of God is going to pull up. And you're going to say, that's right. It's my hope. I've been praying for it. I've been expecting it. I've been looking for it. Thank God. That's the joy of God. Amen. Where's your joy at? What's joy, preacher? It's the fruit of the Spirit, this gladness of heart. You know what we need? We need a revival of joy.
John said that you might have fellowship with Him and that your joy might be full. Thank God it ought to be.
Yeah.
I believe the old man looked up, and when he saw the wagons, he said, "What? Thank God!"
Yeah.
I want to say this. This is what I believe he did. Bible said it. I believe he said, "Joseph,
yeah, 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 right."
That upset some conservative Baptists. I wish you'd get out of your little old prideful ways. I wouldn't act like that. That's why you ain't being blessed. I don't believe he said, "Joseph's alive." That's right. Nor Methodist. He said, he was revived.
Yeah.
If you ever get a church revived, there'll be tears of joy.
Yeah.
There'll be shouts of joy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There'll be great joy. When they had revival in Samaria and Philip preached there, they said, and the city was filled with great joy. Why? Because they was getting saved. And the Holy Ghost was working.
Yeah.
Here this man sitting down there, and he got revived. That said, he revived. Thank God, his hope revived. And his joy revived.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, I'm through. His spirit revived. That's what it says. It says the spirit of Jacob. The spirit is where you communicate with the Father. I've saw a lot of people holler. I've done a little bit myself. But I'm talking about spiritual revival. Where you're lifted. Where your spirit's lifted. He was lifted from the discouragement. He was lifted from the place of not having hope. He was lifted from a place of, my friend, of despair. He was lifted from a place of, my friend, of bereavement. He was lifted, and his spirit lifted in him. Thank God, God revived the spirit. The only way we have fellowship with God is through the spirit. That's the only way. He's a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." How am I going to worship God in spirit?
Right.
He said, "I'll stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance."
Yeah.
He's stirred. He's revived. How many years had the old devil took that bloody coat? Look here. I wonder where he put that coat. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about this? It was goat's meat that Joseph gave Isaac. Goat's meat, goat's blood. Here's his coat, Father. We found it. They lied to him. But he lied too. They said, "The coat of many colors. Put it up here. Put it in the corner. I want to look at it. It'll remind me of my son that's dead. When they came back, thank God with them wagons. It revived me. Joseph is alive!"
Yeah.
This is what he said. "I'll go see him before I die." I'm going to tell you what we need before we leave here. We need revival. We need revival. What's Westside Baptist Church need, preacher? Revival. I'll read it to you. Good gracious, what a good God. So they get everything together. They go back. If you will, look with me in verse 29, verse of chapter 46. And the Bible said, "And Joseph made ready his chariot." I bet it was a big one. "And went up to meet Ezra, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while." What a meeting. There will always be tears when they're surviving. There will be tears of repentance.
Yeah.
Be tears of rejoicing.
Yeah.
There will always be tears.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. Now listen to me. And this is I'm finishing. Jacob revived when he saw the wagons.
Yeah.
And heard the news. What's it going to take to revive us? I really believe this. I believe one evidence of true heart revival will be true tears of repentance. And there will be true tears of rejoicing.
Right.
I love shouting. I mean, I love to see somebody get plugged in and shout.
Oh, yeah.
But there ain't nothing ever helped me more than weeping.
Amen.
And he fell on the neck of Joseph. And he wept. Is your heart in that kind of condition to thank God today that Christ is alive? And He's loaded our wagons up with many provisions. And we come to the church and sing about a man, Christ Jesus, and we never get stirred. How can these things be? How can I look across the congregation and say, that's my brother? You ever notice when Joseph wept? He wept with all his brothers.
Yeah.
But it was something about Benjamin.
Yeah.
He wept more of Benjamin. And let me give you my thought on that. That's from the same church. Rachel was the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Something about
it. Yeah.
Amen. We call it the mother church, don't we? Huh? I wonder what you need to revive in today. Hope. Joy, inward spirit, what you need revived in. See, I've been running a little low, preacher. I've been looking at the coat too long. Instead of the hope I have in God. Where you at? You've been praying for a lost loved one and your hope's kindly down. And your hope might get revived this morning to believe God to save that sinner. Right? Your hope might be revived. And hope might be revived because you see a little bit of wagon music. Your joy might be a little revived. You know you got liberty here of the Spirit to worship and praise Him. And anybody wants to get stirred up for God, I'm welcoming it. Maybe your hope or your spirit, you've been down in your spirit. You just need reviving. You just need reviving. Just need reviving.
Right.
Let's stand this morning.